Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
You can listen to this show, The Pomp and Joe Show, on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can hear clips like that. Joe Starkey attending to some family matters up in Buffalo. Bob Pompiani, I think he's on his way back, or he is back from Dublin. He's supposed to host the show tomorrow and Thursday. I guess we could put a TBD next to that. And then I will be back in for a football Friday. And we are joined, as you heard with that clip, by Nick Farabaugh, Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. Nick, it's my understanding you're a recent grad of Slippery Rock. Is that right?
What a wonderful reference.
What made him, I asked Austin this. Austin Bechtold is behind the glass, the man we call City Limits. What made Joe think that Nick went to Slippery?
Well, and that's the thing. I told him, Joe was like, okay, what's some additional information? This is the first time we were having Nick on. And I said, Nick went to Pitt. We covered the NCAA tournament together for a year. And he went to Pitt. And for some reason, he immediately thought Slippery Rock. And I drew a blank.
Nick, you just got back from Dublin, though, yesterday, I believe. It looked like the whole experience was awesome. So before we get into the game, it seems like guys like myself and Austin really missed out on a fun time.
It was awesome, man. Ireland's a really cool city. Ireland's a really cool country. Dublin's a really cool city. It's really fun. The Guinness is different over there, I will say. That is true. I heard that many times before. It's very true. Beautiful scenery, great people, good atmosphere. It felt like an NFL Sunday, like it did when you got down there on Sunday. It felt like a legitimate game that would be happening anywhere in another city. So it was a really cool experience to cover an international game, the festivities about it, how kind of a city and a country, really, in Ireland's case, kind of came together. Like, for example, on Saturday, I went across Ireland to Galway on the west coast, which is about 2.5-3 hours away. And even there, they were, you know, they had signs up and they had different things that they were celebrating, and there were events happening in every city and town. It was really cool to see that. So it was really fun to actually immerse yourself kind of in that experience. So yeah, very cool country, very cool city, and very cool experience considering the first NFL game in Dublin.
It also seems like the team and the commissioner would like to see them go back and play at Croke Park. Is that something we should anticipate down the line?
Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, let's be real, Donnie. You know, Goodell also said on Saturday that the idea is once 18 games come, every single team is going to play an international game every year. And so what's really probably going to end up happening is the Steelers right now have four areas where their international marketing rights are: Ireland and Northern Ireland, Germany, and Mexico. What's probably going to end up happening is they're probably going to end up rotating between those three. I mean, I think that's reasonable to expect. Now, maybe in different areas of the country, in some of those cases, like Croke Park, obviously, for Dublin makes sense, but there are other stadiums around Ireland that you could maybe play in if you really wanted to. Certainly Germany's bigger country, Mexico, big country. You can try and fit things in there, but that's probably what's going to happen, right? Like the home game years, the Steelers will alternate between Ireland, Mexico, Germany, and then who knows where they would go on a home, on a road game year, but they'll be back in Ireland at some point. And it may be sooner than you think, not, you know, in the next like 4 or 5 years, but would not surprise me if it's, you know, in the 2030s at some point, they're back there.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they were a dozen years between playing a game on international soil this time around. It was 2013 the last time that they did that. I do not expect it to go another dozen for a team and a brand like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wouldn't be stunned if, I don't know, like by, you know, I'm thinking they're going to play another international game by 2030. Hell, they may even play two.
They're going to play one by 2028. I would bet on that. I would. And that's because Mexico really wants the Steelers. And I think that's, you know, the Mexico game has not been able to happen because the Estadio Azteca is getting renovations for the World Cup next year. But next year, that game is going to be back on the schedule. And the Steelers, either in 2027 or maybe in 2028, they have a really fun kind of gauntlet in 28, Donnie. They face the Cowboys and the Dolphins that year. Both those teams pretty popular in Mexico and both have marketing rights there too. I think both those matchups really appealing to the NFL. You know, I mean, listen, I think if Estadio Azteca had been available, I think the Steelers probably would have gone to Mexico first. So I think they're going to be in Mexico soon enough. So, and then you don't even know on a road game, right? I mean, next year they play the Jags. Who knows? Maybe they're in London next year. Like, it's completely kind of random sometimes on the road game side of things, but They're going to be international probably sometime within the next 3 years. I would guarantee that.
You can hit us up on the fan text line at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Now, Nick, when it came down to the game, that was the most complete performance we have seen from the Steelers all season. And I don't think the last couple of minutes, although it could have really spoiled how the game went, I don't think the last few minutes of that game spoiled what was a really good 55 minutes by everybody involved. Did it seem like, given the ownership's connection to the country, that there was a little bit more, you know, at stake for the Steelers in this game? Like, it meant a little bit more than any other regular season game, because that is how they came out and played.
Certainly, 100%. And, you know, I talk with players after the game about that, and Mike Tomlin apparently got teary-eyed in the meeting room on Saturday just talking about Dan Rooney. And that fired the guys up, and it seems like they came out with some juice. But I think the environment, Donnie, it's kind of hard to describe the environment if you weren't there, but it was genuinely electric. It felt like a college game in some respects more than it did an NFL game. It was really fun. And so I think that was part of it too. But I think they came out with some energy here. You know, obviously Art Rooney gave them a speech on Wednesday just talking about the significance of this for their family and the connections that they have to Ireland and all of this. And I do think that really actually kind of came about through the energy the players played with. But this was the best game of football they played in a long time. I mean, I can't think of a game where they drubbed them for about 55 minutes in the way they did, Donnie. You know, this felt like, you know, the first two games against the Jets and the Patriots, it felt like games the Steelers should have lost that they won. It was like the typical past two or three seasons. This felt like a game that they should have not even been close in. They should have won this game by two or three scores running away. They completely dominated both lines. They dominated the turnover battle. They dominated really the schematics for most of this game too. They outcoached them, they outplayed them, they out-hustled them, they did out-everything them. This was a domination up until the last 5 minutes of this football game.
You brought up the coaching there, Nick, so I wanted to go there next. That was a big discussion on the show yesterday afternoon when Chris said he did not think it was a good game for Mike Tomlin because of what happened in the final few moments. Pony and I disagreed. Pony and I thought, you know, going in, it felt like everybody said that the Vikings would have the coaching advantage. Kevin O'Connell is an offensive guru. Brian Flores is a defensive mastermind. The Steelers let this guy out of their facility. And to the credit of Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith, I thought those guys went out there and, you know, they weren't the guys in the game dominating, but I thought from the coaching aspect, they dominated for 55 minutes.
They really did. Offensively, I mean, they completely punked Flores for most of this game. He gave them space to work with in their quick game, and the Steelers said, we'll take it, and really just spread them out and worked quick game. Now, granted, I don't think the rushing part of that was as much coaching. I just think the offensive line finally kind of clicked together, and that helped them become a lot more efficient. But they really punked them in the passing game. Getting DK Metcalf free, working kind of those in routes that allowed him to get significant yak. That was a big part of that. And then they match up on it around the rest of the passing game. And so it was a really smart game plan by the offense. Defensively, you know, I thought Kevin O'Connell actually called a pretty good game. There were a lot of different options that Wentz had. But the Steelers did a great job of showing different blitzes, different looks on the back end, mixing things up, that when even guys were running open, Wentz didn't see him. And oftentimes in the NFL, Donnie, that's just kind of what happens, right? Is maybe there is a play to be made, but you foam with schematics, you get home and you get sacks. And they communicated much better until the last 5 minutes when they lost Ramsey and Eccles was in and out and Slay was in and out. And then the one kind of bust they had on the Addison play, I mean, they tried to finally run kind of a funky coverage with the new personnel. It was Clark and Slay there. You kind of trusted them because they had been playing all game, and they bust the communication. I don't think this was a badly coached game at all. I think you can argue the management of the game on Tomlin's side, right? Should he have gone for it on fourth down? Certainly. But in terms of the coaching of this game, I thought he did a very good job.
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find our guy Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com, who joins us for the full 11 o'clock hour here. It does feel like the defense is starting to turn a bit of a corner, Nick. They weren't, I wouldn't say they were great against the Patriots. It was a lot of the vintage bend, don't break in that game. They forced a lot of turnovers. They forced a couple of more on Sunday, but they overall looked better on defense too. Like, guys were just flying around and it felt like we were watching an improved unit.
It did. I mean, they got the best games of the year from guys like Peyton Wilson. I thought Keanu Benton had a wonderful game. Watt, Herbig, these guys were playing really well. Deshaun Elliott clearly means so much to this defense. It's not even funny. It was just a really good all-around game. I'm not sure there's a guy on the defense. Well, Chuck Clark I don't think played that well. But outside of him, is there really a guy you can point to that didn't play well? I think it's hard to find somebody. You know, those guys really played well. They hustled. Wilson was finally kept free, and I thought that really allowed him to kind of come downhill. The guy that I think has really come along in the last two games is Patrick Queen. I think he's played so well the past 2 weeks, just being an attacking downhill linebacker. In the run game, he's been great. He was a little bit up and down in coverage against the Patriots. I thought this week he was much better there. I just think that they are kind of molding together into a unit now. And so that's going to be, I think, kind of fun to see. I still think they need to figure out the defensive line and safety kind of rotation reps a little bit more. I'd like to see more Jabril Peppers. I'd still like to see more Dan Ekwuale. But I think that they have kind of a mix here where it's working, and the communication is improving, and the run fits are improving. And so the more schematics are being kind of rolled out, we're starting to see tricky things happen. So this defense is playing better, and they're starting to kind of get deeper into their schematic tricks, which is making them look like a good defense, because I think they are a good defense as long as those things work.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It really felt like there was a strong correlation between Keanu Benton playing possibly his best game as a Steeler when he needed to do so most, and Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson also both looking great at off-ball linebacker.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Benton was absolutely a game wrecker. I don't think he's played a better game in the NFL. He finished on a lot of plays that he maybe usually doesn't. I think some of that is impressive. And when you look at what he did in the running game, he was just really good. Granted, you know, I do think there was a lot of easier matchups this week for Benton, right? Starting left guard is out, center leaves in the middle of the game, and he just feasted on backups. But you're supposed to feast on backups. And I think that was a great confidence-boosting game for him. And I do think Derek Harmon's arrival has helped this a little bit as well. You know, they have kind of used Benton around the formation more, so Harmon has kind of cracked inside a few times against the run. And the Steelers have felt just more comfortable with Harmon in there to send blitzes against the run and try and allow Queen and Wilson to kind of knife in and make plays and keep them clean. So that has really been – there's a few reasons why, but this has been a really strong few weeks for this defense. The run defense looks much improved and feels like Derek Harmon's arrival has also kind of opened up some things for them as a front, and he's been really good through 2 weeks. So much, much improved front, I think, since week two against the Seahawks where they really got dominated.
And you know we've had this talk. I mean, I said the one of the things about the Steelers trading Minkah Fitzpatrick back to Miami is that would it allow Deshaun Elliott to still have the freedom that he had last year when he was able to impact games in so many ways? And he had a full stat sheet on Sunday, and you could just tell that he made such a big impact in that game. The guy just does a little bit of everything, which is why he is such a fun player to watch. Maybe he's not the best player. Maybe he's not the most talented player. But he is, to me, one of the most fun players on that defense to watch.
He's also their communication hub. I think that was a big loss for them in week one when he got hurt. They kind of lost their center of communication. When Minkah left, he kind of took that role over. And so they kind of had to find somebody in the interim. That was Jabril. I think, you know, with him, he's even played a little bit of post safety. Like, he did play in the post a little bit against the Vikings, which I didn't really expect. Clark came down into the box a few times. Thornhill played a little more this week than Clark did. But Clark was actually in the box a fair amount of time. So Elliott's now showing he can play a little bit of free safety, which I think is a little bit of a game changer for what they want to do and the mix-ups they want to do when he's in the box. He is somebody that can take away tight ends. He's a great run defender. He's one of the best open field tacklers in football, in my opinion. I think one of the forgotten plays of the game, actually, Donnie, is it was the 4th-and-1. They come out. It's the fullback dive to Jordan Mason. He gets about 7 yards. If Elliott doesn't make that tackle, there's one guy that is blocked. And Mason, if that guy doesn't get off the block, I believe it was Darius Slay, Mason has a touchdown probably down the field. That was a great open field tackle. But he's just such a leader for this unit. He's a communication hub. He's kind of an energy bringer. He does so many things for this team. He basically acts like a third linebacker at times too. So he can do so much for you, and his importance to this defense is through the roof.
1126, which is brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, talking to Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Another great game from Nick Herbig. This guy is just a maniac, Nick, especially in pass rush situations. I mean, you want to talk about the definition of playing with your hair on fire and your ears pinned back. It's this dude when he knows he can get after a quarterback on a third and long. Is Alex Highsmith at risk when he comes back from injury at starting to see more of a split role with just how good Herbig is?
I mean, probably. Herb needs to play way more when Highsmith's back. Now, is that because you take Highsmith off the field? Is that because you play three outside linebackers? You know, do you do that? I think that's a fun package they have not rolled out yet. They played like two snaps of it against the Seahawks, and I think they got a pressure and a sack on those two snaps. So I'm fascinated to see that package. I think that's going to be a thing. But Herb has kind of taken this role and has just run with it, Donnie. I mean, he has been a star. In terms of pure pass rush ability, I don't think there's a better player on the team. I really don't. He is so explosive. He's got such a deep bag. He was beating Christian Darrisaw pretty regularly. And we're not talking about a scrub here. Christian Darrisaw is a top five left tackle in football. It doesn't matter who you put in front of him. It feels like Herbig always produces. And he's a much better run defender than people give him credit for. I hate hearing this. You know, he's not a good run defender. He's not a good run defender. He's not an elite run defender, but watch the tape. He sets the edge multiple times. He knifes upfield and makes plays and frees up other guys. This guy's a pretty solid run defender too. And so I do think Highsmith is probably going to be at a little more of a reduced role. I also think you can cut Watt's snaps down a little bit. He's playing like 90% of the snaps right now, and I understand he's TJ Watt, but he doesn't need to be running to the ground necessarily either. And then I think you can play all three of them on the field. So Herbig needs to be featured at a very, very high clip when Highsmith returns. But I see a lot of people clamoring to trade Highsmith. I think it's just better to have three really darn good edge rushers. And you're not paying a quarterback, so you can do it. I think that's a privilege you can have.
Do you wish that they would show that defense with the three main edge rushers in it more often, or does it take away from too much elsewhere?
No, I think it's a great idea. They got to kind of figure out which guys can rush where. I think it allows TJ to maybe stay on his comfortable side a little more and not be hurt for it. Because if you have to worry about Herbig or Highsmith, maybe over the A or the B gap, that's a weapon to utilize. I think it allows them to do a lot of different things up front. And the really cool thing is Herbig is so good in space. Remember he came out of Wisconsin and there was talk, maybe he's an off-ball linebacker. You remember that?
Yes.
And I think the Steelers have kind of found out that while he's a very good edge rusher, he also moves extremely well in space. So you can drop into coverage and be like, okay, we got something here. Highsmith also moves pretty well in coverage and in space for what it's worth. So there's a lot of different things you can do there. So I think they will roll that out more. As long as everyone stays healthy, I think the issue is, Donnie, when these guys have been together, it's been maybe for one game and then someone gets hurt. We just haven't seen it very often with all three of them healthy.
Where does the Peyton Wilson hustle play rank for you in terms of like hustle plays by Steelers or really the NFL in general that you can remember?
I mean, by Steelers, man, it's up there. It might be the best hustle play I've seen in a while.
I thought of one other one, Nick, from 2017 when Vance McDonald ran down whoever blocked the kick for the Bears in Chicago. That was the only other one that came to my mind.
That's a great call. I still think the greatest hustle play I've ever seen is in the 90s. And it's when Larry Allen, I can't remember who he ran down, but he ran down, I think, a corner. And it was just insane because you're like, how does that guy move that big? DK's play to run down Buda Baker is still up there in terms of unbelievable plays you can't believe. But, man, this is up there with them. The fact that he caught Addison is still probably one of the craziest things. And it truly did affect the game. I mean, they ended up stopping them on three straight plays and burnt over a minute of clock because of that stop. So Yeah, it probably is up there. The Vance McDonald play is definitely up there too, but I think this one was more impressive just from a pure speed, angle, pursuit, effort type of play. And it's all over Peyton Wilson's tape. It's not a one-off. This wasn't a one-off thing. He did it a lot at NC State too.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the chase down clip of Larry Allen. I want to say, I might be wrong. I wanted to say it was Sam Mills, who was like a Hall of Fame linebacker, but it was an inside linebacker who had everything going his way. You know, he caught he intercepted the pass with some momentum. Larry Allen's flat footed and he runs the guy down. That's one of my favorite clips too, because Dan Dierdorf is the color analyst on that Monday Night Football game, and he has zero care in the world that Troy Aikman just got picked off and it got returned inside the red zone. He just goes crazy for Larry Allen. That's why it's one of my all-time favorites, Nick. That's a good pull.
It's one of my favorite clips. Larry Allen, it was unbelievable. It's just, you don't see big guys do that very often, be able to hawk people down like that. So it's one of my favorite hustle plays I've ever seen. But I think the Peyton Wilson one, man, is just so impressive, because in a similar vein to Larry Allen, Larry Allen's obviously much bigger than Peyton Wilson, but Peyton Wilson shouldn't be able to run that fast. He should not be able to go as fast as he can. And Peyton's got insane athleticism, so you see it right there. There.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey and Bob Pompeiani. Joe attending to some family in Buffalo this week. Pomp on his way back from Dublin. He should be hosting the show tomorrow. We continue our conversation with Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com as we are approaching the 50-minute mark on the Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Nick now joining us over the phone. He's on his way down to the Steelers facility. There is player availability in about 45 minutes. No Mike Tomlin press conference today due to the bye week. Nick, two of the big questions coming out of this game having to do with injuries. Jalen Ramsey and Calvin Austin. We will start with Ramsey because Steelers reporter Jerry Dulac from the Post-Gazette, he said these guys would both be out at least, quote, several weeks. So what is the timeline looking like for these two? Has there been any determination on what the injuries are?
So, I mean, Ramsey obviously has a hamstring strain. I think they're still trying to kind of figure out the exact severity of it. I think it's going to be more about how Ramsey kind of reacts to it. And he didn't make it worse when he played. I think that's something to note. And he was at least on a workout bike. And so I think, I'm not sure he's going to play against Cleveland, but I do think there's a chance that he's back after the Cincy game, because I think it's hard to envision Ramsey, if he can't play in Cleveland, playing in that Thursday night game. So that short week probably, I would guess it knocks him out the next two games, but I think he's probably back for that Sunday night game against the Packers. I think that's realistic for him based on what I've heard.
Do they get Joey Porter Jr. back to fill that void?
Yes, I do believe Joey is going to be good to go against Cleveland. So he will be back, which will be a nice boost. I also think Corey Trace is ready to go. And I think they're going to open his practice window next week. So the Steelers might get Porter and Trice back. And Ramsey can at least rest then. So the Steelers still have nice depth there along with Brandon Echols. Echols is okay, by the way. He did get hurt, but it was just really bad cramping in his calves. So he's all good.
I think due to the depth at this position, the injury to Calvin Austin is more of a concern than the Jalen Ramsey injury. Any idea there? And what are their options outside of him, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, Calvin landed really hard on his shoulder. They had to take him to the hospital just to see what it was, because there's no x-ray machine in Croke Park. So they kind of had to take him to the hospital, make sure, you know, no broken collarbone, no severe injury in terms of bones. I don't think that is the issue, but I do think it is something that will hamper him for a while here. I haven't, like, gotten a determination on the diagnosis of it, so I don't know if, you know, it's an AC, if it's, he dislocated his shoulder, but he is right now in a sling. And they're probably going to have him out for a while. And their options right now are pretty slim, Donnie. There's really not a lot. I mean, they went to Scotty Miller more than Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson played three snaps against the Vikings. And it was Scotty Miller who played when Calvin got hurt. So I guess that's the top option. They're going to continue playing Skowronek, because Skowronek is kind of your dependable blocking big man. But their options on the outside, I mean, Tyreek Hill was that top option. Obviously, he's now out with the injury. Romeo Dubs or anyone in the Packers room feels like a long shot, given Jaden Reed and Christian Watson still being hurt. There's not a lot of obvious candidates. I mean, there's two that come to mind. And one is Alan Lazard. I still think Alan Lazard makes sense for them if they need a guy that can just be a big body fill-in. The other one is Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel is a game day inactive right now for the Bills. They've used Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman more, and he doesn't play teams. But with Calvin Austin out, the kind of issue with Samuel before was it's just the same guy they already have. But with Calvin Austin out, I think he might make more sense. So, honestly, I think those are your two options on the outside right now. I guess you could go look at a free agent. You know, Odell is out there. DJ Chark is out there. Deontay Johnson, I guess, if you really want to have fun with it. But my guess is Curtis Samuel and Lazard right now makes the most sense. And we'll see maybe who else could top three if some teams start having discussions about trades.
What is it with Roman Wilson, man? I mean, three snaps in a game where one of the top receivers gets hurt. Like how is that happening? He played the fewest snaps of anybody on offense.
I mean, watch the film from the first 3 weeks. He just doesn't separate. He didn't separate on the deep routes. And right now, his very specific role, this kind of guy that goes to the outside, motions inside, has to get free on crosses against man-to-man, I mean, they've utilized Metcalf for that. So you haven't really needed Roman to be that guy. He's a scrappy blocker, but so is Skowronek, and he's just, and Skowronek's bigger. And I think Roman Wilson's just not a precise route runner type. And so he has this niche role that, I mean, with Calvin out, I think actually becomes useful, but they haven't really utilized his route tree. It's been a lot of, like, clear out routes. Like, I call it love for the game routes. He's kind of been a kind of decoy almost. They've utilized him in his, like, 10 snaps. I don't know the average route kind of tree he's run in terms of, like, the depth of it, but I would imagine it has to be well over 15 yards. Most of his routes have been deep routes to clear out the underneath. And the Steelers just haven't been a downfield attacking offense this year. And when they have, they've generally targeted go balls down the sideline. Again, something Roman doesn't really do a lot of. So you just kind of look at it, the way they've attacked defenses, his role kind of being allotted to other guys. And I think that's kind of the explanation for it. But I think with Calvin down, they're going to need him more. So I would imagine they're going to start kind of unleashing a little bit of that, and we'll see what happens with it. But he hasn't done anything to kind of be noticed outside of that.
And what the hell happens if DK Metcalf goes down during this Calvin Austin injury leave?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I think you're in dire straits.
They're going to run the triple option.
Right. I mean, they have Isaiah Hodgins, at least, now, who I think is a decent, like, wide receiver 5'6", big X type. So at least they have somebody in the works now that can at least play the position, because they didn't score. And so there is that. But, I mean, I don't know. When you call Robert Woods again, maybe. I guess that has to be an option, considering he is still a free agent. You look at practice squads, maybe. I haven't really kept up with Gabe Davis. I've re-signed with the Bills practice squad, but I don't know if he's yet become a member of the active roster. I think maybe you could coax him to come over. That wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. So there are some options, but there none of them are appealing if DK got hurt. They'd be in trouble. And with Calvin, they're in trouble. So they need to trade for somebody if Calvin is out, you know, for a very long time, especially into the second half of the season, where you get into a real gauntlet, I think, of teams, starting with those Packers, and then you have the Colts, pick them, the Chargers. I mean, that's a tough three-game stretch right there. So you need someone sooner rather than later. If I were Omar Khan, what I'd be doing right now is I'd be scouring the market, and I'd be trying to trade for someone this week, so you get the guy above a week, and so he can actually contribute when he faces the Browns on October 12th.
You actually jogged my memory about Isaiah Hodgins. I forgot that they had him on the practice squad. Should we expect to see him getting a helmet? I mean, if we have Roman Wilson only playing 3 snaps, Miller and Skowronek are only playing in the teens, Skowronek is a special teams ace, why not let Hodgins get a go here?
So it depends on what the Steelers want to do, right? So Scotty Miller is the backup punt returner. But someone's got to return punts now that Calvin's hurt. So is it going to be Keyshawn Williams instead? I think that's the question. Keyshawn Williams had a good preseason. He's a nice route runner type. He's a deep threat. He is basically just kind of Calvin Austin light. So I wonder if he might be the guy that gets the call instead. But if they want kind of a pure receiver type, and Scotty Miller is going to be the backup punt returner, maybe they bring Dante Kent off IR so he can be the punt returner. Then I could see them bring Hodgins up. I think he's the best pure receiver they have on the practice squad. He's a fluid mover. I think that's something that they really like about him specifically, is despite his size, he's like 6'4", he actually gets in and out of his breaks pretty well. So he could be somebody that they do bring up. It just kind of depends on what they want, Donnie, because Calvin does do a lot more than just kind of be a receiver. He is your punt returner. So it depends on what they're going to do at punt returner, I think, to see who gets that helmet. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Keyshawn Williams.
A few more minutes with Nick Faribault, Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. Nick, what is going on with Pat Freiermuth? 15 snaps the other day. He doesn't see a target in the game. He only has 7 receptions for 65 yards this year. This is looking like some money they put into the offense that is not money well spent right now.
you know, in terms of what's happening with Moose, I mean, it's not really that hard to decode, right? So Moose right now, I think it's...
Uh-oh, we may have lost Nick there.
Throughout.
Oh, there he is.
Seattle. And so I think that part of it is that until he gets on the same page with Rodgers, he is significantly less dependable than someone like Darnell, who is clearly on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. I also think John U is just kind of a guaranteed snap getter. He didn't play as much this week because of the hip. They limited his snaps, I believe, because of that. But Moose is just kind of a guy that has a role, but if you're not really going to work with the quarterback, why not bring Darnell on the field when he's just a much better blocker, and then they have the jumbo tight end stuff this week. So, to me, the Steelers were more focused on how do we run the ball at a high level in this game because they didn't have Jalen Warren. And so they said, we're going to play Darnell more. We're going to play Anderson more. I think Moose is still a very solid player. I still think he's a very useful player in an offense. But right now, you know, he's the second-best blocker in the room. And on top of that, he's not that, like, that dynamic after the catch. So if he's not going to be a seam buster and a contested catch guy that can be kind of this dependable security blanket, this chain mover, I think he's the chain mover of the offense kind of that isn't being seen right now because he's just not on the same page with the guy throwing him the football. So I think Moose, as time goes on, emerges in this offense as that chain mover type. But he and Rodgers need to hook up in this bye week and be like, okay, what's going on? Why aren't we reading each other's body languages and things like that? Because I think that's the biggest reason we haven't seen him emerge as much, because I just don't think there's a great connection between those two right now.
Did it catch you by surprise that Washington played more snaps combined than all of the other tight ends? And Connor Hayward was second with 16.
Yeah, it did. Listen, I'm a big fan of Darnell Washington playing way more. He should probably be the guy playing the most. He is somebody that opens up the rushing offense in just so many different ways. He clears out those C and D gaps. He is such a athletic mover as well in space. There were a lot of times, Donnie, on tape actually in that past game where he was like open at least. Not like open in general terms, but like Darnell Washington open, absolutely. Where I actually thought he could have had a few more catches, too, and even a touchdown at one point. He's just somebody, you know, I played, I think, over 90% of the snaps in this one. He's just somebody they need to kind of feed through for this rushing attack to go, because Johnny can't block. Pat's a good blocker now. I think, actually, Pat has improved as a blocker a lot over the past few years. So I kind of wonder how you still balance the Johnny, you know, yak, kind of wanting to get the quick game stuff going, with how you work Moose and Washington in, but I can't be that surprised by it because, I mean, you think about what Darnell does, and he really does open up the offense in a completely different way than anybody else. Without him on the field, they really can't run the ball.
Given the first quarter of the season, how it has started, Nick, are you starting to buy in at all that the Steelers in 2025 can win the AFC North?
I'm buying in on that, not necessarily because of how they look, but because of what is going on around them.
Yep.
I mean, you think about the Browns. They have a very good defense. Browns have a very good defense, but they just have an utterly terrible offense. I mean, that offense is awful. They don't have a quarterback right now that's worth a darn. The Bengals with Browning are going to be tough to really win much at all. That defense isn't good enough to keep them afloat. He's not good enough to keep them afloat. The Ravens have really something going on. I know that they've had a very hard schedule, but between the injuries, Lamar's not playing well, and defense looking old and slow, which has been kind of a weird development for them. I mean, the Steelers are certainly, I think, in the seat right now to be the division winners. So I certainly think it's a much better chance than I thought it was earlier. Granted, the Steelers have a harder schedule in the second half than the Ravens, and I think that's going to be a key thing. You know, how healthy do the Ravens get? Do they make adjustments? Because remember, the Ravens last year in the first half, they were the worst passing defense in football and were the best the rest of the year. So they can surge, certainly, and they have a talented team. But losing guys like Nnamdi Madubuike, losing guys like Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey for multiple weeks, that's significant for them. It doesn't feel like their coaching has been up to snuff this year. So this is a year I think the Steelers actually do have a real chance to win the division, but they got to keep their foot on the gas. It's not easy. The win division in the National Football League, and the Steelers certainly still have a lot of flaws that they can't overlook themselves.
Nick Farabaugh. Check out his stuff. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, thanks for taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me on, Donnie. Appreciate it as always, man.
There we go. Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.